right, so Joe, today you delivered the keynote at Elka Experience 2011 in San Francisco. Very exciting. You had several wardrobe changes, correct?
I did. I played Lady Gaga this
You
morning.
Did, you did. But so tell us about the theme. We had a theme around social, mobile, and apps to drive revenue. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, Amanda, everybody is talking about social, mobile, and apps wherever you go. So it wasn't unusual that Eloqua might be talking about social, mobile, and apps. Our take on it, though, what makes us different is that we're focused on how to help people drive revenue around social, mobile, and
right.
apps. So we spent a lot of time showing our customers the capabilities we've put inside of Eloqua to help them build social profiles and drive revenue and leverage all the different things that are happening in social to help their business. Same with mobile, and then same with this whole idea around SaaS 2.0 and integrating in the cloud, and we call that apps in the app cloud in Eloqua. So it was, I hope if they left thinking anything, they thought Eloqua is going to help us drive revenue with social, mobile, and apps.
Excellent. And you guys have a slew of suites and solutions to support that as well.
It's probably been the most exciting year for Eloqua in terms of product innovation.
Right.
We've launched more products in the last year than ever in our history. And, you know, as you get bigger, you have more engineers to be able to do those kind of
right.
things. So we launched a social suite. We launched new mobile products. We launched our new revenue suite. And we launched the App Cloud, so appcloud.eloqua.com. And then finally, we launched an entirely new HTML5 interface for Eloqua 10. So just an amazing amount of innovation in Eloqua in the last year.
And to that end, I know that you know you guys are in a quiet period after the IPO filing, but you did share some really great growth statistics and company momentum. So can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
We are in a quiet period. Thank you. And in case there's any folks from the SEC listening out here, we're trying to be very careful and respectful and make sure that we don't overhype or oversell the company. But through three quarters this year, we've grown about 39% higher than through three quarters last year. So our business growth is increasing on larger numbers.
Right.
So when your growth rate increases on larger numbers, then you're feeling pretty good about your business.
Yeah, that's great. And you shared a little bit about, too, how many attendees we had today. Was it over 1,200?
You know, I wouldn't have believed the number myself if you'd said 6 months ago. Do you think you'll have that many folks here? The goal that I set for the organization was over 1,000, and we had 1,203 people. And I actually saw some new people who are coming in today, so I'll be interested to see what the count is when we're all said and done. But yeah, it's exciting. Listen, there's people that are passionate about marketing. They're passionate about improving their business, and they come and show up. So that's great for us.
Excellent. And during your keynote, you talked a lot about the role of marketing and the role of sales and even the role of the CEO. And you know, moving into 2011, you mentioned that CEOs have growth on their mind, and obviously that's you know the bigger part of the conversation. But how has that changed, and how would you encourage CEOs to think about that growth?
Well, it's interesting. I spend a lot of time talking to CEOs now for a couple of reasons. First is we've been doing a lot of research for the revenue suite for our revenue performance management products, and they're really designed for CEOs. And so I spend a lot of time asking CEOs their thoughts and how they think about things with regards to that. The other reason I've been talking to CEOs a lot is since we filed our S-1 to go public, every public company CEO wants to help in that process. They went through the painful process themselves, and so I've just had an outpouring of support from people, and it's given me a lot of access to folks that heretofore I hadn't been able to talk to. So in talking to lots of CEOs around the country, I hear sort of two consistent themes. The first is they entered 2011 with a focus on growth. Growth, growth, growth. We all got to grow our businesses. Growth had slowed for most companies through 2009,
right.
early 2010, and so everybody felt good at about the end of 2010, and so we built great budgets and great plans for 2011 that were all about growth. And you really see that out there when people are reporting earnings today, et cetera. But with all the news in Europe and all of the concerns about are we going into a double-dip recession, et cetera, what's happened here at the back half of the year is the conversations are increasingly about, hey, how do you guys feel about next year? How are you thinking about, you know, do we need to, you know, are we going to need to cut headcount? Are we going to need to cut our expenses? Are we going to need to be less bullish and more bearish next
right.
year? So you got this dichotomy of we got to grow, and that's what we're being paid to do, but also we got to be careful. And when you bring those two things together, it's a really interesting time for the marketers. And so what I told the marketers today is, first and foremost, you've got to be part of your growth engine in your company. You have to help grow the company. And the kind of things that we've talked about, whether it's nurturing or scoring or using social media or using mobile to grow your business, that's first and foremost. But the second thing is, people need to know that you're doing it. You can't sit in your cave in the corner of the marketing department and do amazing things, and if nobody in the executive suite understands what you're doing or understands the progress that you're making, and they just see the end results and they attribute them to sales or they attribute them to some great speech the CEO gave or whatever, then you're going to have some real trouble. So we've built out a set of metrics and a set of reporting in the revenue suite that really let marketers show how they're driving pipeline, how they're affecting revenue, and they do that in a consistent way so that marketers can have a real seat at the executive table. And that's what our goal is there.
Right, and to that end, when we really can't have a conversation about any kind of market automation without revenue performance management, right? And so earlier today, you had talked about 5 revenue performance indicators that organizations really need to keep in mind. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's hard, Amanda, I'll give you a brief overview, but there's really the devil's in the details. And so I would encourage anyone to go to Eloqua.com, and there's a bunch of videos up there, and we really take a lot of effort to explain it. So if you don't get it here, then you know there's lots of resource there. Really, we worked hard to come around to those 5. You know, a year ago when you and I sat down, it was the Sweet 16 that we were working on. We had 16 metrics that every CEO must know. And we realized as we talked to CEOs, that was too many.
Right.
They didn't want to know 16 metrics. And so we came back around and we were at 7, and then we were at 2, and then we were back at 5. And so we think 5 is the right number. And as we really, you know, sort of pressure tested each one of them, we think they make a lot of sense. So the first one is value. And it's really, you know, all of these metrics, by the way, require that you integrate your sales and your marketing together, and that you automate your sales and you automate your marketing processes. And so the first step to any revenue performance management strategy is to have a Salesforce automation tool like Salesforce and have a marketing automation suite like Eloqua. If you don't have that, it's impossible to do these things. But once you build that, you can then have the data and the metrics in order to have the 5 RPIs. So the first is value, the second is conversion, the third is reach, the fourth is velocity, and the fifth is return. If you want to, we can talk about each of those metrics for a minute now.
Sure.
So if we take value, value is easy. It's taking a look at what the funnel is worth. How much is my pipeline worth today? Sounds simple, sounds obvious, but if you take the entire pipeline from front to back and measure that on a regular basis, that's actually a really important metric that marketers should report on every month. Every month when you go to the management team, hey, here's where our pipeline is. And once you start to report on it every month, then you can see if you're getting better, if you're getting worse, if your pipeline's growing, et cetera. But very simple measurement, but most marketers don't have a system of record for this and a
right.
dashboard for that. The second one is conversion. All marketers look at conversion rates today, but they all look at them differently. Some of them do conversion from marketing qualified lead to sales qualified opportunity. Some do it from inquiry to MQL, you know. And some do it to close deal. And what we've done is we've built a set of standards that say, here's the conversion rates you should look at over time.
Okay.
And so conversion, I think, is a really important metric that most marketers are used to. Reach is all about who in your database is available for you to go after. What are the target market opportunities? And we've developed some techniques for reach that will really help marketers identify who their best prospects are in their database. One of my favorites is velocity, because most marketers don't look at it in B2B, and they forget that time is just as important as conversion
Absolutely.
Percentage. Because if it takes you 6 months to convert someone, that's 6 times less good than 1 month to convert
right.
someone. So velocity is simply the amount of time it takes to move someone through the funnel. And it's a really good indicator of how quick your sales cycles are, and then the size of the pipeline you need to meet your sales targets. And the final one is return. And it's return on investment. And there's a couple of different ways we want marketers to measure return. And what we want to get away from is today there are no standards. You know, some marketers say, well, I apply all the revenue from a closed deal to the first campaign touch. And I apply revenue to the last campaign touch. And I apply revenue across all the campaign touches. And one thing we've done is we've built out a set of standards where you can measure return consistently and then do that same measurement over time. And that's great. Now, when you take all five of those RPIs, the one important dimension that I must mention is benchmarking. When we've interviewed the CEOs about this kind of information, they jump out of their chair when we use the word benchmarking. They say, whoa, wait a minute, let's talk about benchmarking. You're going to be able to tell me that my conversion rates are good, that's great, but then you're going to be able to benchmark me against the industry? Yeah, we can do that. Well, how can you guys do that? Well, we're a SaaS company. We have all the data from all of our competitors.
Right.
I mean, not all of our customers. We put all of that data into a database, and then we don't give anybody the names, and we don't give individual companies, but we use that data to help benchmark. And so it's something that we think it's part of the advantage to being a SaaS company as opposed to a software company, is we can turn around and give our customers back valuable data about how they compare to averages and best practices. And the reason that's important is not to say, oh, you're good or you're bad. It's, you know, I may be great at getting prospects into the funnel and horrible at closing them. You know, and if that's the case, then I'm going to spend my time and effort on how to close prospects. I need better content. I need to focus on my selling skills. I mean, there's things I can do and spend money on. However, if I'm great at closing prospects, but I'm horrible at getting them in the funnel, there's a whole set of different tools and techniques that I may want to use. And what we aim to do is to help the organization see where should we invest to do better. And that's where benchmarking really helps.
Excellent. Well, I know that you're in high demand here at the show, so I appreciate you taking the time to share these great insights with the Demand Gen Report audience. So thank you very much for your time, Joe.
I'm happy to do it for you, Amanda. Anytime, we'll get together again.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks again for that great content. I hope our audience enjoyed it. I want to thank you for listening today. Keep an eye out for other upcoming podcasts in the series that we'll be broadcasting through demandgenreport.com.